day the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Glory be to his name. Glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're listening to Radio Redemption and Power. We are a South Florida radio program that preaches the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight we continue our study in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2. Last week we left off on verse 7, and tonight we continue on verse 8. And if you haven't been joining us with the study, remember you can visit our webpage, redemptionandpower.com, where you have access to all of our past podcasts. You can also find us on iTunes, or you can go to our Facebook page where we post weekly our episodes on our page. And also, we currently have our app available now for the iPhone. You can download for free. To be able to listen to all of our podcasts without having to go and search on iTunes. You can have them on demand on your phone. And we hope to be able to get it out soon on the Android. So we'll announce that as soon as we get it out. Remember, you can also reach us at redemptionandpower@gmail.com, where we'll be more than happy to receive your prayer requests and to lift them up in prayer with you. Or you can send us any comments, concerns, or any questions regarding any of the topics that we touch upon. Or you can contact us at 305-320-7727. That's 305-320-7727. Brother Lewis, would you kindly lead us in prayer today?
Amen. Father God, tonight we want to thank you, Lord, for everything you do in our lives, Lord. And tonight we ask you to empower us, Lord, to empower us with the ability, Father, to be able to preach your precious word. And, Father, to be able to impact people, Father, with this wonderful word that will bring transformation and change. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Once again, you're listening to Radio Redemption and Power.
I hear him singing over you and some of you. I hear him saying your name. And he says to you, I'm not like your father. Listen, my beloved one. I'm not like your father, 'cause even the best of them are just broken brothers. Listen, my child, listen to me. I'm not like your father. Why are you putting that on me? Listen, listen, I'm not like your father. I'm not like your father, 'cause even the best of them are just broken brothers. Listen, for frozen. But listen, listen, I have the power to change things, and I have the power to make you new, and I have the power to rearrange that same old chain. And listen, you're not like your father. It's a new day, it's a new day. You're not like your father, and the sins of your fathers and their fathers and their fathers and their fathers' fathers will not be on you. Just keep on, keep on coming, keep on coming, keep on coming, keep on coming. Listen, my beloved one, all men are broken, and broken men break their children, who grow up to be broken men. But listen, I'm bigger than that. You gotta let your fathers go. Your fathers were broken by their fathers, who were broken by their fathers, their fathers, and their fathers on. And there's only one good father. There's only one good father. I'm gonna make everything beautiful just in time. I'm gonna turn it all around. Just wait and see. No regrets. I'm gonna make everything beautiful.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory be to his name. Tonight we continue our study in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2. And just to do a quick recap of some of the things that we saw last week, we saw that God gives us precise and correct knowledge to know who is the real God. He's given us the scriptures. He's shown us his character, who he is, so that we can know the counterfeit from the real from the counterfeit. And we get to this one true God through the one mediator, Jesus Christ, who intercedes for us, not as some spirit creature, not as an angel, but Paul says the man, Christ Jesus, who is also God, Jesus Christ, who is both God and man, and intercedes for his people. And based upon that, we start in verse 8 in 1 Timothy, a book whose name means someone who honors God. And inside this book, we find instruction to the Christian, not just to the pastor, but to the Christian as to how to live his life as a minister. Because every Christian is a minister of the Word of God. Because every Christian carries inside of them the Holy Spirit, the witness that testifies to the resurrection of Christ. And we ought to be nourished up in the Word of God to be able to proclaim the truth to others. I'm going to start from verse 5, because verse 5 builds up to what Paul says in verse 8. And Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I'm speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and in truth. I desire, therefore, that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Paul says, I desire, therefore, that the men pray everywhere. And he starts this verse, says, I desire, therefore. Whenever we see the word therefore, that means there is something about what Paul is saying, about what the Bible is saying, that is built upon something else. And here, Paul, based on everything that he had mentioned before, how the church is a vessel for intercession. We saw in the beginning, in the first verse, how Paul begins with the priority of instructing young Timothy as to the importance of prayer in the service. And we see that the church has an intercessory role on the earth to not only pray for those that are in the church, for those that are believers and fellowship in the Holy Spirit and in our Lord Jesus Christ, but also for those that are outside, for those that are in power, for the kings, for the magistrates, for those in authority. We ought to pray for those. There is one God and one mediator, the man Christ Jesus, who is our representative before God. And we see that he connects all this with that his desire that men pray everywhere. Notice that there is a connection between Christ the man, the mediator, the one who represents us before God, and the call to men to pray. There is a special connection between the role of Christ and the role of the man. Look at 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Paul makes a connection here between the role of Christ over man and the role of man over the woman. And verses like these are often used to instruct women of their husband's authority. However, we cannot miss that these verses place a standard of leadership upon the men that is to imitate Christ. And this is a very high standard that the scriptures is lifting up the man to. This shows us that we as men have an incredible accountability, have an incredible mark to live up to follow in the footsteps of Christ, because Christ is the standard and the stature of what a man should be. Paul in verse 8 here in 1 Timothy chapter 2 is calling men to take their position to be the ones that lead and initiate in spiritual exercise. Unfortunately, we live in a time in modern Christianity where women are the ones who are taking the spiritual responsibility in the household. Women are the ones who have been given the task to lead in spiritual matters. But that is not the way that the scriptures declare it to be or instruct us to do. Just like God called Adam when Adam and Eve have fallen, God called the man to accountability. And just like it was the man who was called to give an answer, give an account for what had happened, likewise, it is still the man who is to be called an account for the state of his family, for the state of his church, and for the state of his nation. One of the reasons why Christianity is on decline in the United States, one of the reasons the U.S. is declining in every virtue period, is because we as men have failed to take the spiritual and leadership roles in our communities. We men are the representatives of our families before God. Notice how Paul begins in the beginning of verse of chapter 2, instructing young Timothy on the importance of prayer, intercessory prayer for all people. Then he connects that with Christ, with the one God and the one mediator. And now he's calling the men to position as a representative of the family. We are to follow in the footsteps of Christ. We as men are the ones that should initiate Bible studies in our homes.
in our families. We as men are the ones that should gather our families to pray. We as men need to take upon ourselves the responsibility of our church's spiritual condition. It's not for the pastor alone. Paul says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. He's not speaking about a specific group. He says men. And that Greek word is a word that's often translated husband. We're speaking about a man with authority. And one of the problems of our generation is that we have lost what it means to be a man. Satan has managed to deceive many into thinking that there is no difference between a man and a woman. But apart from the clear biological and neurological differences, which are crystal clear, both men and women are defined differently in the plan of God. If there's one word that we can use to define the role of a man, the word is sacrifice. Sacrifice. Look at what Paul says in Ephesians 5:25. He says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Who's he speaking to? That same word, husbands, is the same Greek word that is translated men in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. And here, what defines the love of which Christ is speaking about is that he gave himself for the church, that he gave himself for the people. And just like the role of the man is tied to the role of Christ, just like the role of the Messiah is tied to sacrifice, so is the role of the man defined by sacrifice. What it means to be a man means to live a life of sacrifice. To sacrifice your time, sacrifice your money, sacrifice your comfort for God and for others. Because out of sacrifice comes life, comes fruitfulness. Look what Jesus says in John 12:24. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Jesus speaking here about the sacrifice that he was going to give. Unless that grain of wheat be put into the ground that represents death, it will not bear fruit. But from this death comes forth life. From the sacrifice of Christ came forth the church. And we see this in the beginning in the scriptures in Genesis. From the beginning, God put Adam to sleep, a symbol of death, in order to bring Eve to life, which is a symbol of Christ's sacrifice for the birth of the church. We look in the Bible. Men in the Bible are defined by their sacrifice. The Bible tells us that Job, every morning he would sacrifice for his family, for his children. We look at Samson, a man who God had raised up to fight the Philistines, to fight the enemies of God. We see that his life is filled with many failures. Yet the Bible tells us in Judges 16:30 that this man, at the very last action in his life, where he sacrificed his own life to kill the enemies of God, the Bible tells us that this man killed more in his death than he ever did in his life. And that is the truth about a man that is able to lay down his life. God can do more with a man that sacrifices himself than for someone who would live selfishly. We look at David, who believed God and placed his life on the line to fight Goliath. And God gave Israel the victory that day because one man stood up against the giant. We look at the prophets in the Old Testament, and all the prophets sacrifice something. We look at the sacrifice of sacrifices. The Son of God laying down his life for the church, laying down his life for humanity, for the world, the Bible says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that those who will believe shall not perish but have everlasting life. Not only do we see sacrifice in the Bible, but we see it throughout history. When we look at the American Revolution, men who stood up against tyrants and laid down their lives for the freedom to live outside of a dictatorship. We look at the pilgrims who sacrificed all that they had in England to come and worship God. We look at those whom God has used to preserve the Bible, who have laid their lives down, men willing to be burned at the stake for the sake of Christ. That is what Paul is calling men to do here. He's calling them to take their position, to take their leadership roles, not only in the homes, in the secular decisions, but also in the spiritual practices, in prayer, to be guided by the Lord, to be the ones leading in the churches, because that is what the man is made to do.
Amen. I want to read that scripture that Pastor Javer just read. I want men everywhere. The word everywhere. I want you to keep a note on that. To lift up holy hands in prayer. A note on that. And without anger or disputing. And what that scripture there brings into remembrance to me is John 4:19-26. When Jesus and a Samaritan woman encounter each other. And I'm not going to read the whole passage for the sake of time, but I'm going to focus on chapter 19-26. This is what the woman, the Samaritan woman, says to Jesus. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worship on this mountain. But you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is Jerusalem. Now, we see that there were certain places where people worship God. At that time, when the Samaritan woman was talking to Jesus, she was referring to a mountain where they went to worship. And then the Jews worship in Jerusalem. Now, what Paul's describing in this scripture is that men must pray everywhere. There is no specific place where we should not pray. No place is more acceptable to God than another. That's why we should pray in restaurants. We should pray in the streets. We should pray in the churches. We should pray in our homes. Now there's no such things as bound to a certain area. Now we could find God wherever we seek him. Second thing, lifting up holy hands. What does that mean, lifting up holy hands? Well, lifting up hands has to do with surrender. And holy hands has to do with purity. It has to be without pollution of sin. Now, we are to come in prayer to God, resisting sin, asking God to forgive us of our sins, and to push ourselves to strive for sanctification without anger and disputing. We are to come to God with love. We must pray in love without anger or malice or wrath towards any person. We must pray without fighting one another. And it's sad today, we got brothers and sisters who are fighting among each other. How can we come together in unity when we are in division? Pastor Javer also spoke about the position of the man in the house. First of all, I want to make something very clear. Our God is a God of order. And what I mean by our God is a God of order is the way he does things, he does it in He does it for humans. He does it for animals. And he does it for everything that he has created. We see that when God made men, he made Adam first. So therefore, he made Adam as the leader. He made Eve to be his helper. Now, I want the ladies to understand one thing here. And this is, by no means do I think a woman should not have her position as a helper to her husband in the church. And I don't think that a woman is in any way someone that God will not use. And why do I say these things? Well, one of the biggest privileges that a woman has that none of us men has ever had is to be able to give birth to the Son of God. I think that that alone lifts the woman up in a pedestal that's worth of honor. And it's very important to understand these brothers and sisters, because we are not supposed to treat women like they were a piece of trash or unworthy. If God found Mary worthy enough to have his son, to be his mother, then we too need to honor our wives as a woman was important to God. Then every woman should be important to us. Let me continue the following verses in the Samaritan woman. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshiper will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers that the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know the Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I am the one speaking to you. I am he. Brothers and sisters, when we go and pray to God, and we've explained this on other programs, we don't need to go to people. We need to go to God. And the one who God has given us, the Spirit that God has given us to communicate to God, is the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of truth. So there is no specific place that the Holy Spirit cannot come and intercede for you before God. We could be under a tree. We could be under a rock, under a bridge, on the streets, everywhere. And here the Samaritan woman is saying, well, you know, I know, sir, that, you know, the Messiah is going to come. And he's going to explain these things so, you know, so we could understand them. And Jesus said, I am he. I wasn't there when the woman said that, but I could imagine what the look on her face must have been. Wow. It must have been something that impacted her in a way that the Bible says she ran and told everybody of what had happened. And I encourage you tonight, brothers and sisters, God is not far from us. All we have to do is get on our knees and pray.
I want to go back to verse 8. Brother Lewis mentioned something very important. He emphasized on where Paul says, for men to pray everywhere. That means that our spiritual practices are not just restricted to a specific location, but there's something important in what Paul is saying here. Because one of the things that prayer does is that it shifts our focus from worldly things and causes us to focus upon God. And prayer is something that is so integral to keeping us in line, because when we're praying, when we address God, we're placing our eyes upon him. And one of the important things of what Paul says for men to pray everywhere, it's for us, it's a means of dependence upon God. See, when you're praying, you're seeking for the Lord, you're seeking for His strength, for His power, for Him to move on our behalf. So when we're praying everywhere, we're walking in constant dependent upon His power that He provides to us through the Holy Spirit. And one of the issues that men have is having trouble and being able to be focused. I know this is a problem that I have in my life, that I battle with, distractions. But this instruction that Paul is giving to us, specifically to the men, is so that we keep our eyes upon Christ, because we as men are representative of Christ, and as well as is the woman as Christian. But there's a special connection between men and his role and the role of Jesus Christ, which we looked at in the scriptures. We are the ones that should be taking authority. In our jobs, we should be the ones to make it known that we're Christians, that we can pray for others. We have a testimony, which is so important. And Paul says, lifting up holy hands. And when he's speaking about holy, he's not just speaking about the holiness, the position of holiness that we receive that comes through the cleansing of the blood of Christ, but it's speaking about an experiential holiness, a holiness that comes from living a life of integrity, that our hands are clean from doing things that are wrong, that our actions are pure, that our motives are pure, that others can see in our lives the integrity, our strong stance on truth and what is right, because our testimony is so integral to others receiving the message that we possess. If we're living our lives doing crooked deals, doing things which are contrary to the word of God, cheating people, then others will not receive our testimony. They will not receive the gospel from us, because they will see us as hypocrites, because they will see that our actions do not line up with what we believe. And that is, in fact, the definition of a hypocrite, is someone who professes something that they're not. And Paul here is emphasizing the importance and the role of a man and in living a life that is filled with integrity. And unfortunately, that is something that is lacking in today's generation. Men are not afraid to lie. They're not afraid to cheat. In fact, in the society that we live in, it is celebrated for a man to be dishonest, for a man to cheat on his wife. But this is not the perspective that God has, and it hasn't changed, and it will not change. As Christian men, we should be the pillars of integrity in our society. And it's very interesting that when Paul here speaking to the men, he's telling us, the men, that we are to take the role, the leadership in spiritual matters. We ought to live in integrity. And he mentions here, without wrath and doubting and disputing. And it's very interesting that Paul mentions this when he's speaking about to the men, because why? Men have the tendency to be given over to anger more than women. And God knows that men have a greater tendency to give over for men to give in to wrath. And in fact, when I was working on this study, I came across a study by the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine. And they discovered that the part of the brain that modulates or controls aggression in men is smaller than in women, meaning that men have less control when it comes to dealing with anger. We give in to anger quickly, much quicker than women. And it is precisely this reason why here in this instruction that's being given to men, Paul emphasizes that when we pray, when we're doing our duty as the role of the men that we're called to, that we have been formed to live, We are to overcome wrath. We need to be men that have self-control, that are not easily given over to anger. We must dominate anger rather than it dominate us. Because in those moments when we give in to wrath, everything that we have built up in our testimony is destroyed. In our marriages, when we get into an argument, and who hasn't gotten into a heated argument? When we as husbands lift up our voices, act in a way that is not in line with the behavior of a Christian man, we completely toss out our testimony before our wives. We often forget that our role and our testimony is not only before the world and before unbelievers and before other Christians, but also before our wives. Our wives are the greatest witnesses to our lives and whether we're living a life following after Jesus, whether we're living a life according to what we preach. They're the ones that see the truth in us. They're the ones that see our faults and our strengths. We have to fight against wrath, against giving in to anger, against doubting or disputing. We need to clean our hearts. We need to have, when we come to the Lord, we shouldn't be holding any grudges or any unforgiveness in our hearts. The man of God is to be without contention. But when we come to the Lord, we should make peace with others before we present our sacrifice. That's what Jesus said. He says, before you go and present your sacrifice to the priest, if your brother has something against you, not you against him, but if he has something against you, you go and make amends with him. You go and make it right. You go and try and fix it. And then when you're done reconciling yourself to your brother, then come and offer your sacrifice. Then come and offer your gift before the altar. Then come and worship and present yourself before God. But it shows us the importance of our relationships, especially with our Christian brothers and sisters, are to our spiritual lives, to our spiritual well-being. I mean, can you imagine if putting it into a family context, you have a brother and sister living in a home. They're both in conflict. They're not speaking to each other. And then they come to their father asking for them for some favor, for something to be done. If that father loves those children, he knows that his primary concern is for unity and to peace, for there to be peace among his children. And that's what he's going to be concerned with the most. And here Paul is emphasizing that we as men not only should be the ones that should take charge in spiritual matters, not only should we live lives of integrity, not only should we overcome wrath and anger, but we should do our best to maintain peace with others. Isn't that what Jesus said? He said, blessed are the peacemakers. He said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. For they shall be called the children of God. We as men are to be peacemakers. Just as Christ is the peacemaker as our mediator between God and men, so men are to follow the role of Christ and to seek to be like him. You know, Brother Lewis, one of the interesting things about what Paul says here, he says that men should lift up holy hands in prayer. And what's interesting about that is that normally when we think of prayer, we think of somebody getting on their knees, crossing their hands, bowing their head, closing their eyes. Yet we look in the scriptures and we see that there's many different ways that men prayed. Some laid prostrate with their faces on the ground, showing full submission to God. And here Paul is saying, men lifting up their hands unto the Lord. And where I'm getting at is that one of the things that I see that has gripped modern Christianity is that we emphasize more tradition than we do the essence. We care more about how things look rather than the condition of the heart, which is the most important thing. So much tradition is in modern Christianity, in which many people divide over the style of music, the way they should decorate the pulpit. And what God cares about is about what's on the inside, in the sense, is there truth? Are we preaching people to get their hearts right? Because out of the heart, out of the righteousness that's in the heart, from those who have been transformed, from those who have been born again, will bear fruit in their actions. So it's not so much about the outward appearance as much as what's really in the heart. Christians today, we care more about the way that we appear unto others rather than the way that God sees us. And in our efforts to hide our flaws, to hide our struggles, we close ourselves up from God, because God sees all. We are transparent to Him. And the most important thing as men is, if first and foremost, if we desire to make a difference in our families, to make a difference in our churches, in our communities, is that we need to get our hearts right with God. Because we as men are to follow into the footsteps of Christ, because our role is connected to the role of the Messiah, the sanctification process that a man goes to is much greater than the woman. We need to be the first ones to change before we expect any change from our families. Why? Because we need to lead by example. We see that Jesus Christ, before he becomes head of the church, what does he do? He goes to the cross. He dies to himself for his people. And that is the example that we as men need to follow. We need to die to ourselves. And that's why God often deals much more severely with the man than he does with the woman. Because there's a certain expectation of us. There's a certain standard. In fact, we see that the role of Christ is to sanctify the church. As we read in Ephesians chapter 5, 25 through 27. And likewise, the men are to sanctify their wives through the word, through their example. The reason why we obey Christ is because what he did for us. And unfortunately, sometimes as husbands, as men, we expect automatically for our wives to have this total submission, which the Bible does speak about, but we forget that that submission is also earned by our example. And unfortunately, that is a tough pill to swallow for many of us, because it requires for us to be the first ones to initiate obedience unto God, to initiate obedience unto the Lord. The Bible says that the man is the head of the woman. So if we want the woman to be changed, then we as a man first need to be looking at God, because the body follows the head. The body does what the brain tells it to do. So when we are following Christ, when we're looking to God, when we are in subjection to Christ, because the Bible says that Christ is the head of the man, if we are under the authority of Christ, under the dominion of Christ, under the subjection to Christ, then as we change, so will our wives change. So will society change. So will our churches change. And that's just the problem that's going on today, is that we're not subjecting ourselves to Christ and to His Word. We have men that are careless about their spiritual lives. They care more about the money they bring and the material things they can offer to their family, but they forget about their souls. And because we had a generation that cared more about the provision of material things than of the spiritual things, we have the society that we have today. It is the responsibility of the man to lead in spiritual matters, because God will call us to account, as he did to Adam.
You know, Brother Javer, one of the intentions of the devil is to destroy the position of the man. And that's why we see the problems that we see today with lesbianism. However, As we could see, like I mentioned before, in nature, the lion is the king of the jungle. Even though that the lioness does go and hunt and feed the cubs, he is still the one in charge. And we can't say that God didn't make men to rule, because this is the order that God placed this. It's not something that we feel because we want to be the ones in control. It's a way that God ordered it to be. At the same time, we need to respect our wives and give them the place where God has given them to be, or has led them to be, our helpers.
And we'll conclude with that tonight. Just to do a quick recap of some of the things we spoke about today. We saw the role of the man is very closely connected to the role of Christ. It is one defined by sacrifice, to be leaders and initiators of prayer and spiritual exercise. As Brother Lewis had mentioned, we are to pray everywhere. We as men need to break away from that timidity of having other people think we're soft because because we pray. We need to stop caring about what people think. We've been called as representatives of Christ, and we are to involve God in every matter. We are to walk in integrity, representing Christ in every place, free from anger and contention, overcoming these struggles that many men have with rage. The Bible calls us to be gentle. And the way we're going to see these fruits in our lives is by submitting to Christ, by abiding in Christ, by praying everywhere. So long as we're praying all the time, we are connected with Christ. We're connected to the vine, and the fruit will be seen in our lives. We need to rise up to the position that God has called us, and the women will follow. And next week, we'll look at what God expects from the woman, and we'll see how that relates to the church. And before we close, Brother Lewis will close us in prayer tonight.
Father God, tonight, we thank you for this teaching, Lord. We thank you that you have broken the barriers, Father, of certain places where we're bound to pray, Father. And you have opened for us the ability to enter into the holies of holies anywhere where we are, Lord. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, Father. This precious gift, Father, that allows us to speak to you and you to us. Father, let us go boldly into prayer with our hands lifted up in submission, Father. Submission to you. And also, Lord, Father, strip us of anything that will hinder our prayers, Lord. Any hate, any anger, any bitterness, Father, towards our brothers or anyone that has hurt us, Father. Father, let us go boldly into your throne in spirit and in truth. Father, we thank you tonight for receiving these prayers. I pray that you edify your people. Guide them and teach them, Father, to your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And once again, a reminder, you can download the Radio Redemption and Power app on your iPhone, and will soon be coming to Android. We thank you for listening tonight. Remember, you can visit us on our webpage, redemptionandpower.com. May the Lord bless you. I am
enter the Holy of Holies. I enter through the blood of the Lamb. I enter to worship you only. I enter to honor I am. Lord, I worship you. I worship you. Lord, I worship you. I worship you. For your name is holy, holy, holy. For your name is holy, holy, holy. I am. Let the light